Now it's time for this.
The Executive Chair on News Talk.
And I'm delighted to welcome to the Executive Chair, Stephen O'Malley. He's the co-founder and CEO of Civic. And as I understand it, they're the provider of civil, structural and building engineering services, plus lots of other things. So engineering consultants, no less. Stephen, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
Now, we're going to talk about Civic in a minute, so you can relax for a second. That we'll get all the things you want to tell us about Civic out there.
Yeah.
But you're a Tala man.
I am.
And you would have grown up in Tala.
I did.
When effectively it was a new town. And as somebody who's interested in urban development and how cities thrive or die, Tala's an interesting case study, is it not?
It's fascinating. Absolutely. I think when I first moved there with my family, it was the late 70s, early 80s. So it was pretty raw as a place. And of course, there was a lot of very good intention in the drivers behind the creation and foundation of Tala, but also a degree of perhaps naivety.
Yeah. And it's a serious population. And I think when you get a big population into an area in a very short period of time, sometimes the infrastructure doesn't grow with or allow for the size of the population. That was clearly the case in Tala back in those early days.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, it's well documented that Tala during that period was a pretty tough place.
Yeah. Now, your father was a joiner and he worked in construction. And I think maybe you were influenced by that. He was working down in the IFSC. And I think maybe you, when you were working with him, spotted a civil engineer from the scaffolding or wherever it was. And that kind of stayed with you in terms of where you went around your career.
For sure. I mean, I didn't actually know there were alternative careers to construction within my family because they were all involved in construction in some form. But in that instance, where I saw and witnessed this guy pull up in his Volvo estate and all of a sudden there was a cloud of contract managers and construction managers around him, and he was providing the instructions and listening and offering sage advice, and they were all very alert and attentive to the points he was making. And I kind of felt quite inspired by that, because amongst all of this chaos, here was somebody that was offering some insights and some answers and some direction.
Okay. Now, your career brought you then to engineering at DIT.
Yeah.
And a job which you tell us about, which I think has influenced your career to this day, was you started with Bernard Brady and Associates.
Yeah.
Now, Bernard Brady was, tell us about him and tell us about that business and the experience you got there, because I feel that may have been instrumental in your future life and career.
I know it was foundational because Brendan was a Dublin City Councillor, as well as I think the engineering piece was perhaps 20% of what occupied him. And that was what drew me to him. But as soon as I met him, I got on with him incredibly well, like a house on fire. So I found myself canvassing with him or negotiating. His constituency was Dublin North Central, so we'd be up in Ballymun. We could be talking to some of the local leaders there about shifting a bus stop 50 metres, or we could be in the Shelburne fundraising with some of his constituents, like Smurfit, had a big facility there in Glasnevin. So those types of people were involved in the conversation.
So this was, it was the school of life as well as the school of engineering, let's say.
Yeah, but there's a really interesting broader point there, which I've always had the height of admiration for people who are prepared to put themselves in for public service. And I think as an elected politician, in the main, they are good people trying to do good things.
Yeah, good, good. How long did you stay then with Brendan? And I know you were involved then in an engineering business. Was it in the UK?
Yeah, I was with Brendan for about 2 years. It was in Ireland between the Maastricht Treaty and the arrival of the euro. And I think it's fair to say that Ireland was in its economic infancy, and there was a lot of struggle, I think, economically within the state. So looking abroad, looking to the UK, looking to America was something that I think my generation were very much groomed for. And I headed off to the UK to try and forge a life for myself.
Now, there's no one in construction who was not effective in a negative way around the crash of 2008. I presume you were no different in terms of your own work stream.
No, that's entirely true. I got a job with an engineering consultancy firm in 2001, and that went very well for 6, 7, 8 years. But the financial crash of 2008
brought you down.
Yeah, brought that company down.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the face of adversity, can be forced or provide the opportunity for new endeavors, new ideas. And that was the case for me, where that then inspired me to set up Civic, as it was originally called, Civic Engineers in 2013.
Yeah, you were the co-founder there. Tell us about your partner.
Julian and I have been working together since 2001.
Right.
So he and I were the minority shareholding directors of the business that didn't survive the recession. However, on the back of that, and in the face of that adversity, we did then choose to set up what was Civic Engineers. And he's a structural engineer and I'm a civil engineer. And that was a really strong partnership.
Yeah. Tell us about your work today then, and tell us how you now have 250 staff. You're in 7 locations: London, Manchester, Leeds, Liverpool, Glasgow, Edinburgh, and Dublin.
Yeah.
So, like, this is a far, you know, a wide ranging geographical remit, certainly. So tell us about the nature of the business and how it works.
Well, the business is called Civic, and the name of the business has been very carefully chosen to reflect the fact that we are very much attempting to try and create the conditions in the built environment for people to have healthier and happier lives. And I think as an engineer in that space, there is an opportunity to have a profound impact on those choices. It perhaps goes back to the talent point.
Yeah.
Because it is about spatial planning, it's about land use, it's about how you work in harmony with the geography of a given location to enhance and sort of capitalize on those qualities. So the business now has archaeology and geoconsultancy and civil and structural engineering and mechanical and electrical and community engagement. So having that interaction with the communities in which we get to affect is critically important. So there's a proper dialogue there between the two.
Yeah. You strike me as a very kind of strategic thinker. You're a fellow of many things: a fellow of the Chartered Institution of Highways and Transportation, a fellow of the Institute of Highway Engineers, a policy fellow in the Institute of Civil Engineers, and a fellow of the Landscape Institute. Like, that's serious fellowship going on there.
Well,
tell me more.
It's never felt like hard work. It's always felt like I've just followed my passions. And, we only have one landscape. So however we might approach that, whether it's landscape architecture or civil engineering, we've got to be very careful and considered and thoughtful in how we deal with that.
And I also note, Stephen, that you're an active member of the Taoiseach's Dublin City Task Force. And I'm interested in your take on the city, as somebody who's an engineer, obviously, and who's in the business of changing it, I suppose, and can influence its change.
Yeah.
How do you, does Dublin City frustrate you? Are you excited or disappointed by it?
I'm in awe of the city, and I am immensely proud of my Dublin heritage and my Dublin roots. So it was a genuine privilege to be involved in that conversation. And in addition to that, I'm an eternal optimist, and I believe the best is yet to come. I think coming into the conversation from the main body of my work being in the UK, I felt as though there was a number of people in the discussion who were understandably a bit frustrated and negative of understandable reasons about the city. And I was coming in and going, well, look how much progress the state has made in the last
20 years. So were you benchmarking Dublin against UK cities and how far behind they might have been?
Yeah, there was a senior civil servant that I was chatting to, and he was waxing lyrical about how successful different parts of the UK were. And I was kind of going, well, it's a bit more nuanced and a bit more qualified than that. It's a bit more hit and miss. And jokingly and amusingly and in kind of classic Irish fashion, he went, we aspire to hit and miss.
No way. So when you sit back now and look at all the work that's been done around the task force, unfortunately, I think COVID changed the city, and I'm not sure it's recovered. In some parts of it have, but there are aspects of it that are almost changed forevermore. We live differently, we work differently.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes time for a facility or a city to catch up with the changing needs. And I think my view would be that Dublin maybe is in that place, that it needs to, and I think one of the great solutions is to get people living in a place, because the numbers actually can sort out. So if there aren't people coming into the city, that's in effect an issue.
Very, very well said. I would add, though, that for all the horrendousness of COVID, it has brought with it a huge amount of opportunity. I think what it has meant is that there's a very different paradigm post-COVID. Before COVID, working from home was, it was a peripheral thing, whereas working from home now, post-COVID, is mainstream.
Yeah.
And I think that's offered up the opportunity for so many more people to take part in economic activity and contribute more to society. So, in addition to that, it's also made us as a society think more carefully about where we spend our time. And that means that arbitrarily commuting an hour each way every day, 2 hours a day, is a nonsense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, on that note, we'll wish you well in your engineering endeavours. The business is Civic. The CEO and co-founder is Stephen O'Malley. Great to get your insight on your views, Stephen, and good luck with the business.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.